Beautiful, isn't it? Sounds like a choir with a full orchestra. Well, it's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226 USA. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. We're an all-volunteer congregation dedicated to preaching the gospel to the whole world and feeding the poor and homeless.
Like to thank you for joining us on our website through YouTube as well as through radio during this coronavirus season. We're grateful to be able to have this opportunity to broadcast these lessons. If you would, we're going to begin with a word of prayer, and then we're going to enter into our lesson this morning. Please pray with me. And so, Father, we approach your throne one more time, confessing that you are the one God Almighty, and we thank you for your grace, which we see throughout the entire world. We thank you for Jesus Christ and the revelation of Him in Your Word. We thank You that He died for our sins, and I pray, Father, that we might love You, that we might adore Your Son, and just give thanks for all that You do for us, and to become more like You as we study each and every day. I pray, Father, Your mighty favor and blessing over this nation as we're going through a very difficult time of financial struggle and hurt and the loss of jobs. Father, this is a difficult time, and I pray, dear Lord, that we would look to You, for You have all the answers. I pray, Father, Your favor for this congregation. I pray for East Dallas. I pray for the ministry to the poor. I pray that You would send us Your grace and strength to be all that we can be for You. Bless this, the preaching of Your Word, and it's through Christ we pray. Amen. All right, so this morning we're going to be looking in the book of Matthew, and we're going to be discussing the subject of prayer. We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 5. If you'd like to turn over there and follow along, I would invite you to do that in order that you might follow along with us as we read. Matthew 6, beginning here in verse 5. "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And so our subject this morning centers around the discipline of prayer. Prayer, in my estimation, is the highest Christian service. Preaching and teaching, while those are great services in the church, they're open to a selective few, a small group of people. But prayer, the highest Christian service, entering into the very presence of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, boldly approaching the throne and conversating with the Almighty, this office is open to the weakest of believers. I believe that this is what the heart of God seeks after. As we understand in Luke chapter 18, when the Son of Man comes, right, He says, will He find faith on earth? Will He find the faith? Will He find a faith like this persistent widow who continues, who's the model of the praying Christian, who continues to storm the throne of God over and over and over again? I believe it's through prayer that we truly begin to know God. When we conversate with Him, when we draw near to Him, when God begins to reveal the burden of his heart to us. And maybe those who are listening to this message might have this question. You know, they might say, I don't really know how to pray. And I want us to consider this wonderful truth that Jesus Christ ever lives today. He is the greatest teacher that has ever lived. And maybe you remember one of the best teachers that you've had, whether it be in school or in sports, and they taught you to do a certain type of activity. Well, Jesus is the greatest teacher, and he would love to teach us how to pray. And so let us begin here in verse 5. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. And so Jesus, first off, tells us what not to do. He speaks of the hypocrites of his day, and these are simply actors. That's what this word hypocrite means literally. These are play actors, and though they're praying, they're not actually praying. They're simply pretending to pray. And we see it's all here. It's about the motives. When we're engaging in religious activities, it is the intent of the heart, right? Are we trying to please men, or are we trying to please God? How much time do we spend in the morning preparing to come to church, to enter the presence of God, to meet Him in the assembly? Or are we preparing ourselves to interact with other people and to meet men? It's a simple test that we can apply to our hearts. What are your motives? Is your religion grounded in pleasing the Almighty, or is it focused in trying to win the approval of men? And so Jesus here, he speaks of their reward, and the idea and the concept is, which is taught throughout the New Testament, is that the reward is in full. It is plain that they should have no hope of receiving any other heavenly blessing in the future because they've already received honor and fame and a reputation before the eyes of men. And also, perhaps more severe, the consequences of this type of prayer is that nothing is accomplished in this man-centered religion. In other words, God is not hearing this type of hypocritical prayer. These prayers are not answered. If the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, as James tells us, surely this type of false, man-centered, man-glorifying prayer, it avails absolutely nothing. And these prayers do not reach the throne of God. And so in verse 6, Jesus is going to tell us how, in fact, we are to pray. And I want you to notice as we read, beginning in verse 6, that what Jesus is going to describe, by contrast, is completely opposite to what we have previously read. And this is a wonderful principle. Many times there is a lot of religious hype and popularity, and there are different fads that are associated with different church movements and certain religious activities that become very popular. Many times, if we want to find God, we need to go the complete opposite direction as the crowd is going. And this could not be more true in our text this morning. Look at verse 6. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And there's a lot that's said today in our culture about personality tests such as the Myers-Briggs, whether you're an introvert or an extrovert. If you're an introvert, it is said that you gain your strength and energy by being by yourself. If you're an extrovert, you get that strength and that energy from being around other people. And while there's definitely some truth to be said about these two concepts, for the Christian, it is plain that our strength doesn't come from being around people primarily, right, or being around or withdrawing and being around ourselves, but our strength comes from being near to the Lord. Our strength comes from Him. And many people confess that they struggle with being alone. They find that this is very difficult to be by themselves. However, these verses stress that seasons of solitude are essential to spiritual health and renewal. And this is a sign of spiritual health if you have the ability to go into your room and shut the door and to be with your God and to worship Him in secret. And so Jesus speaks about meeting our Father who is in secret. And I'm convinced that this is an unmistakable reference to God's presence in prayer. This is an awesome and wonderful truth that the Almighty meets us in prayer. The privileges that are afforded to Christians are simply unspeakable. It's beyond our language to communicate the awesome ability to be able to meet with our God, to come into His most awesome and wonderful presence. And if we were to neglect this highest of honors that has been opened to us through the blood of Jesus Christ, what a travesty that would be. And I find this most striking, that the Lord is said to be present in the secret room. However, there is no mention of His presence in the hypocritical assembly previously mentioned. And so we might find an example here of what constitutes true religion as opposed to false religion. True religion is where God's presence is. It's all about Him. He is our prize. He is our treasure. It is Him that we seek. If He is not in our midst, or His Spirit is grieved, it's all vanity. And how interesting this is, again, that this hypocritical man, as mentioned earlier, is standing in a public place, and the Lord does not see him, nor is God's presence abiding in this assembly, but we have this individual which Jesus describes who goes to be in secret, and there God's presence is, and also the Lord sees this individual by contrast. And so, once again, Jesus teaches, and your Father who sees in secret. This is definitely irony that we have one who is praying in a public place and is not seen by the Almighty, but this private prayer, God's heart is close to this, and He sees this individual. And the Bible tells us that the Lord saw Daniel's prayers as Daniel was searching the Scriptures, as he was beginning to pray the promises of God, as he was seeking the face of God. The Bible tells us that the Lord observed this, that He saw Daniel's seeking and Daniel's prayer from the first day that he set his heart to seek the Lord. And clearly, the Bible teaches that God sees us when we pray to Him in secret and we seek His face. And then we have this incredible promise that the Lord will reward us. And at the resurrection, there are going to be some very rich people, and there are going to be some very poor people, spiritually speaking. And just think about the extreme contrast in our present world that we live in. There are people that have billions and billions of dollars, and on the other hand, there are people that have just a few pennies. In the same way, in eternity, there are going to be people who are rich in the things of the Lord, and there are going to be people who rejected and despised the grace of God who are penniless, spiritually speaking. And so this is a hard text to preach. This is hard to grasp these infinite concepts of what must the reward of God look like. Psalm 84:11 speaks to the reward of our God. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly. Romans 8:32, perhaps the most important scripture in regards to God's desire to reward His people. Verse 32, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? And this is one of my most cherished scriptures. Romans 8:32, which describes that God has already given us everything in Jesus Christ, the most costly of all treasures, and what confidence that we have to come to Him in the secret place and to ask of Him and to have boldness and confidence to know that He will graciously give us all things, all the promises of God find their yes in Christ. And as we think about the reward of the Lord, I think about Paul's prayers in Ephesians as he describes this rich God according to the riches of God's glory, right? That He might grant these prayers. I think about Solomon and the visitor that he received, the Queen of Sheba, as she traveled over long distances in order to visit this representation of Christ. She had no more breath that was left in her when she saw all the wealth and the earthly glory of Solomon. And if we were simply to see all the promises of God in Scripture, if we were to see the wealth of our Father who is in heaven, if we were to know all the favor and the blessing that God will afford to those who simply ask, we would have no more breath in us if God were to give us this understanding to seek all the favor and all the blessings that are in Jesus Christ. And so as we continue here in verse 7, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then like this. And how interesting it is that throughout church history there have been many groups that have broken this very commandment that the Lord has made, and they have turned prayer, they have turned this model prayer of the Lord into vain repetitions of men, kind of like the military, or maybe in sports. The concept is, give me 50 push-ups and this will atone for dropping the ball or messing up or doing something wrong. In the same way, this is the way that people have viewed this Lord's Prayer. And I want us to view it in these terms. Consider this example. If a baby is dirty, we're simply going to clean that baby, right? We're not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Just because people have abused this scripture, this Lord's Prayer, it doesn't mean that we're going to throw this divinely inspired model prayer out because it's been abused. We need to be careful not to be too reactionary and go the opposite direction of the pendulum too far. And so as we examine this prayer, we address the Lord in these words, "Our Father in heaven." And so we have twofold revelation of God as we address Him. Number one, He is our Father. And I'm convinced that as the angels look down, they're amazed that wretched sinners such as ourselves have the opportunity to be sons of Almighty God, to address the Holy One as Father. This is an invitation to draw near to this willing God of mercy and grace who loves us. And as we understand this concept of Father, we're informed as to who God is, as we understand the way that earthly fathers treat us. And then we see that this God is in heaven, and this speaks to the idea that the Lord is enthroned, and He is to be feared, and He is sovereign in a place of perfect holiness. And the first prayer that we're to pray is as follows, "Hallowed be your name." And this simply means that God's name is to be set apart as holy. And I believe in this prayer, this is a reflection of what the burden and the heart and the desire of the true child of God is supposed to be. This is what a healthy Christian is to look like. This is to be our burning desire and hunger that above all things, number one, God's name is set apart as holy, that He is made famous, that His name is honored, that His reputation is upheld throughout all the earth, that His name is hallowed, His name is honored within our own lives, within our churches, within our communities, that God is honored in this country, in America. This should be our burning desire. And everywhere where we see that God's name is spoken against, that He is blasphemed, that He is dishonored, we are to cry out to God with this holy burden that His name might be honored and that His name might be lifted up. I believe that this is the burden of Nehemiah as he looked out over the ruin of Jerusalem. Likely there were countless people in his day that didn't care about the honor of God, about the city of Jerusalem, but this was the desire of Nehemiah, and this is our desire today, that God might be holy, that His name might be set apart, that He might be honored in the church, that His glory might rest in over our congregations and in the day that we live today. And you might ask, how do we do this? And I believe that verse 10 answers that question, how the Lord's name is set apart as holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so there's plenty of people and scholars that believe that we should not pray this prayer because this prayer was given in the time of Christ under the Old Testament and the New Covenant had not come yet. And they believe that the kingdom is the church. And the way that I want to look at this is to suggest that we should be praying that though the church and the kingdom of God has already come, we are crying out that the kingdom of God would advance in greater degrees, that it would grow, that it would flourish more and more in our neighborhoods and in our individual congregations. And so look at these words again. The prayer is that your kingdom come, right? That the church, the reign of Jesus Christ in the hearts of His believers, that those who are doing His will, that this might advance, that this might increase, and that the kingdom of darkness might be destroyed. And then here He says, on earth as it is in heaven. And so this is a description here of the church, that the Lord's church, that God's will might be done on earth just as it is done in heaven. And so there's a transition here in verse 11. We're praying about God's honor and His holiness, and now there's a transition that speaks to our own individual needs. We read in verse 11, "Give us this day our daily bread." And this is a perfect picture of someone who is dependent upon the Lord. I believe that this is an illustration of the way that Jesus Christ lived His life. And many of us are simply not willing to put ourselves in this type of situation. We love security. We love to have a storehouse of provisions, things to trust in. But it's not until we put ourselves in this type of situation where we're dependent upon the Lord that we might experience great and mighty deliverances, and our faith might increase and grow more and more. And so we pray in verse 11, "Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And forgive us our debts as we forgive those who sin against us." And this is to be in our mind as we interact with those that we come in contact with. And we're put in situations on a daily basis where we're required to be merciful. We're to keep in mind the mercy which God has afforded to us, and we're to keep in mind that we're going to be praying this same prayer later in the day, or we've already prayed the prayer, or we're praying this prayer throughout the day, these same concepts, that we want the Lord to extend the exact same mercy that we're extending to others, and the Lord here is promising to honor that. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And you might say you don't really understand this, or maybe this doesn't appear to apply to you. If we start praying these types of prayers, if we pray this model prayer, this last portion will become clear and apparent to us. If we begin to pray and ask that God's kingdom, that His church would advance in this sinful world where the devil lives and his kingdom reigns, if we are praying to push back against these evil powers, we're going to have spiritual attacks, and we're going to understand the great dependence and need we have of the Lord to deliver us from the evil one, to deliver us from Satan. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And so clearly there are things which hinder our prayers. There are things which hinder grace if we have wrong motives and we're seeking the approval and the honor that comes from men. God is not listening to our prayers. But if we are seeking the Lord in secret, if we have an audience of one, and that is the Lord Almighty, and if we are walking in consistency and walking in the mercy and grace of God, we have confidence that God is going to reward us. Once again, there is no greater need that we have in this church and in this country for people of prayer to take these works, to go into your room and to pray these prayers. And in such a time that we're in right now with the coronavirus and people having to be in their houses, what a wonderful time to view this as a call to prayer. As in many ways we're restricted to being in our rooms, to being in secret, to being by ourselves, what a wonderful time to view this as a time to seek the Lord in national prayer. And I hope that you will do this and you will join us in this and you'll continue to pray for this congregation and for the works that we have, to continue to pray for the homeless and their different struggles during this time, and to pray that God would give us the ability to do His will here in East Dallas. Finally, if there's anyone who feels the desire to become a Christian, I would encourage you to look at Acts chapter 2, verse 37. After Peter has preached the gospel for the first time on the day of Pentecost, that Jesus Christ died for our sins, this is the response of those hearers. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" This is the single most important question that anyone could ever ask, and I hope that you have this same question. What must we do, right, to be saved? And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to Himself." And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And so these promises are for us today, and I would plead with you in the same words of Peter that you obey this gospel message and that you come to Christ in this same way and be baptized for the remission of your sins.
Lost sheep are welcome here, and I'm available to you for counseling. Why don't you give me a call, and let's talk about your soul. You might be thinking I've gone too far and I'm too vile for God to save me. The exact opposite is true. You would honor God by believing that Jesus is who He says He is, the mighty God, powerful and strong to save. He's able to save to the uttermost those that come to God by Him. Let me assure you that if God can save me and change me, the greatest of sinners, He can do wonders with you. Call me and let's talk about your soul and the great and sure promises of everlasting life. Call me for personal counseling, for songbooks or tapes at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123.
Now to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this bread that represents the body of Christ. We pray that as we do this, it will be in a manner that is suitable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this cup that represents the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to give you thanks for all the many blessings and to return a portion of that back to you. We pray that this money can be used wisely as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226 USA. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. We're an all-volunteer congregation dedicated to preaching the gospel to the whole world and feeding the poor and homeless. The Churches of Christ are those local self-governing congregations found in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old Bible-believing Christians, reaching the unchurched for Christ at this same time and station. So why don't you come into fellowship with us and have a church in the safety of your own home? Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. Just come to www.churchofchristpreaching.com. You don't need the approval of anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. At home, you can sing, pray, listen to us, take the Lord's Supper, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor in your own local community anywhere in the world. Visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com for free downloads of a cappella singing, hundreds of videos, thousands of sermons, beginners and advanced written lessons for a church library. Please tell a friend about our website and broadcast time. We're the poorest church in Dallas, but with God, we've done so much for so long with so little, we're now qualified to do anything with nothing. Weekly, we feed about 2,000 meals to the poor and homeless. Our jail chaplain has baptized over 19,000 believers. We preach the gospel every day to all the world. We're the Main Street Church of Christ in Dallas, Texas. Check us out at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Why don't you be a missionary and visit this congregation? Instead of India or Africa, you could visit us occasionally, go on a one-hour Bible missionary journey and visit us, and we visit the whole wide world. Tune in the same time and station and visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Beautiful, isn't it? Sounds like a choir with a full orchestra. Well, it's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226 USA. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. We're an all-volunteer congregation dedicated to preaching the gospel to the whole world and feeding the poor and homeless. The Churches of Christ are those local self-governing congregations found in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old Bible-believing Christians, reaching the unchurched for Christ at the same time and station. So why don't you come into fellowship with us and have a church in the safety of your own home? Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. Just come to www.churchofchristpreaching.com. You don't need the approval of anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. At home, you can sing, pray, listen to us, take the Lord's Supper, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor in your own local community anywhere in the world. Visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com for free downloads of a cappella singing, hundreds of videos, thousands of sermons, beginners and advanced written lessons for a church library. Please tell a friend about our website and broadcast time. We're the poorest church in Dallas, but with God, we've done so much for so long with so little, we're now qualified to do anything with nothing. Weekly, we feed about 2,000 meals for the poor and homeless. Our jail chaplain has baptized over 19,000 believers. We preach the gospel every day to all the world. We're the Main Street Church of Christ in Dallas, Texas. Check us out at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Why don't you be a missionary and visit this congregation? Instead of India or Africa, you could visit us occasionally. Go on a one-hour Bible missionary journey and visit us, and we visit the whole wide world. Tune in the same time and station and visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com.